evening, everybody. Welcome each one out. Welcome to the visitors. Glad you can be here with us tonight. Let's rise and have a prayer. Father, we come to you right now. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. Thank you for your son, Jesus. And the reason that we can be here is because of your son. And I thank you for that. Thank you that you care about us, that you love us. And God, I pray your presence and your spirit here with us tonight. I pray you would give me wisdom as I speak, give my voice strength, and help me to be able to speak the words you've laid on my heart. In thy name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I do ask for your prayers. I've been sick, and my voice has been very weak, and tend to get a lot of coughing fits yet, so we're going to try to get through this. So, okay, for a topic tonight, we want to talk about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. What do you think of when you think of a shepherd? No wrong answers.
Protector.
A protector. Somebody else.
Leader.
A leader.
Someone that cares for the fold.
Someone that cares for the fold. Somebody else. What do you think of as a shepherd?
A caring person.
Okay, so my topic, Jesus the Good Shepherd, and then under that I have written, are you abiding in the fold? You know, a shepherd is only as good as his sheep follow. Jesus has all the ability to be the Good Shepherd, and he wants to be the Good Shepherd, but we are the limiting factor. He can only be as good of a shepherd to you and I as we allow him to be. So are you abiding in the fold? Jesus the Good Shepherd, are you abiding in the fold? Let's turn in our Bibles for some verses to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want to read a few verses here. While you turn there, what do you think of when you think of sheep? What's some thoughts that cross your mind when you think of sheep?
Helpless?
Docile? Someone else? They're pretty dumb animals, aren't they, in a lot of ways? I've never raised sheep, but I think it's pretty true, the saying that says sheep need a shepherd. I don't know if anybody here has ever raised sheep or not. I know my father-in-law's raised a few. Noah's raised a few. They're kind of helpless, are they, a little bit, in some ways? They need a shepherd, don't they? Okay. See any similarities in your own life to Jesus Christ and us? We need a shepherd, don't we? John 10. Let's read the first six verses for right now. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Okay, let's stop reading there. I don't know about you, but I was challenged as I read through here. I am mighty thankful that we have a shepherd. We're talking about Jesus Christ, okay? There's shepherds in this life too. You could refer to the ministers as shepherds. You could refer to fathers and husbands as shepherds. But in this case, we're talking about Jesus Christ himself, okay? I'm thankful for all of you guys too. I don't mean that. But in this case, we're talking about Jesus Christ himself. I'm thankful that we have a loving and a caring and a kind shepherd. How about you? Without that, we'd be doomed. There'd be no point in living life. And you know, the devil wants us to think, oh, there's greater things outside of that fold of Jesus Christ. There's greater things over there. Why don't you just kind of peek across the wall a little bit? See what's over there. There's better things outside of Jesus. There's not. That's a lie from the devil. I'm thankful for the kind and gentle shepherd of Jesus Christ. The world may classify it as bondage, having to stay inside of that fold of Jesus, having to follow Jesus the shepherd, where he leads us. Is it bondage? It's quite the opposite, isn't it? It's peace, safety, and rest. Being able to be led by the shepherd, Jesus Christ. You know, it talks about those who try to come into the sheepfold and not by the door. You know, the door is Jesus. It talks about that later. Jesus says, I'm the door in verse 9. But those who try to come in and steal the sheep. You know, you might, in life, there's all kinds of winds of doctrine that blow through. Someone may be promoting to you that you can be saved by your own good works. Someone may be pushing to you that if you join this system, that's going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. All those things, good works are great, okay? Religious systems can be great. I'm not downing any of those. But there's only one way into the sheepfold. There's only one thing that's going to actually bring you peace, joy, and rest. And that's Jesus Christ himself. If you're counting on Concord Christian Fellowship to give you peace, joy, and rest, you're counting on the wrong thing. Now, friends, there's a great benefit in community, okay? And that's not our topic here tonight. There is some great benefits in community, and that can be a wonderful blessing and aid to your life. But without Jesus Christ as your good shepherd, you're going to find no rest. So, if I understand a sheepfold from years ago, if I understand it right, many shepherds would bring their sheep into this fold. There was one door, and there was a watchman that stayed at that door to protect the sheep. And many shepherds would bring their sheep to this fold. So let's say there might have been, 10 shepherds that each had 100 sheep. And so there's 1,000 sheep inside this fold. And then in the morning, when the shepherd would come back to get his sheep, you know, the fold was a place of safety. But they needed water, they needed grass, they needed nourishment. And so when the shepherd would come back in the morning to get his sheep, if I understand it right, each shepherd had his own, whatever he said, you know, maybe it was, hey, come sheep. And his own sheep knew his voice. He did not have to go around that sheepfold and pick out his 100 sheep. All he had to simply do was call, come sheep. And all the sheep followed him. His own sheep followed him through that door. The other 900 did not know his voice. They would stay right there. But his 100 sheep would follow him through that door. So I want to do a little exercise tonight. I have somebody selected in the audience who's going to read verses 4 and 5. And what I want the rest of the audience to do, if everybody can just cooperate with me, I want everybody in the audience to just close your eyes and listen, okay? We just read it, verses 4 and 5. And then I want you to tell me who read those verses, okay? I think you can do that. So right now, everybody, close your eyes, and that brother can read those two verses.
And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers.
Okay, you can open your eyes. Who can tell me whose voice that was? Raise your hand if you know. Wow, pretty much everybody here. Who's brave enough to tell me? It was Matt, right? How many words did it take? Not very many, right? Nope. Now, if I would have brought somebody in off the streets of Fort Wayne, okay, that you have no idea who they were, and had them do the same thing, there would have been confusion amongst this group. Because you would have been saying, who's reading that? Who? Probably most of you would have opened your eyes and looked. Cheated a little, you know. Anyway, that's besides the fact. But there would have been confusion. Why? Because you do not know the voice of a stranger. Everybody here knows Matt's voice pretty well. We listen to him preach, you know, once or twice a month. We all know his voice pretty well. Okay? So, what I'm trying to say is, whose voice are you listening to? The voice of strangers or the voice of the Good Shepherd? When Jesus comes to the sheepfold and says, "Come, follow me today," do you hear his voice? Do you know with clarity that that's Jesus? Do you know the voice of the shepherd? We don't have to know all the other millions and billions of people's voices in this world today. To pass this test, all you needed to know was one voice, and that was Matt's voice. That's all you needed to know, was one voice, and you passed the test. And you know, it's the same with Jesus Christ. We don't have to study every other religion to know what they believe. There might be a place for that, okay? I'm not saying that there's never a place for that, so we know how to help and to witness better. But we don't have to know what every other religion, what every other man says. We simply need to know the voice of the shepherd and abide close to him so that he can lead us and he can take us on. He wants to take us out of the sheepfold sometimes and take us to nourishing pastures of green grass. Okay, let's keep reading. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Okay, so let's stop reading there. When it's 0 degrees outside and the wind factors are negative 20, who all's thankful for a door on your house? Sometimes I wish I had a little better door on my house, you know? Keep out a little more air. But I'm thankful for a door, okay? Once in a while, I think we've got it adjusted right now, but once in a while, the back door of our house would not latch right, and it faces the west. And one night I got up. Now, we did have a screen door, so that was helping tremendously. But one night I got up, and the back door was hanging wide open. It was in the middle of the winter. It was very cold and very windy. Not an excellent way to heat your house. Okay? But I'm thankful for the door of Jesus Christ. Why am I thankful for that? I don't think we have any idea in life the protection that offers us. Sometimes we feel like we're weighted and burdened down. But think if there was no filter. If Satan could do whatever he wanted to you. I don't think we understand half of the protection that Christ offers us. That door of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the door." There's also only one way in, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's the only way into the sheepfold. Verse 10 says, this is what our shepherd did for us. He says, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, someone laying in the hospital who's sick and can't hardly breathe, they still have life, but they don't really have abundant life. They're simply holding on by a thread. But you know, Jesus Christ doesn't want to just give us that life that's just barely making it. Jesus doesn't want to give us that life that's just barely holding on by a thread. Just barely making it through life. It's such a tough journey. Jesus wants to give us life, and life abundantly. He wants to give us that life that helps us to press on and to grow. The NIV reads this way, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If you think you're living, if you're struggling with surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ because you think it's going to be a boring life, you're deceived, my friend. You're deceived. Following Jesus is life to the fullest. Sure, there's a cost. We have to give up ourselves. We have to give up our own way. We have to give up some things that we may enjoy doing. But the blessings way outweigh what we have to give up. There's fullness of life in Jesus Christ. Verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, I can stand here, and words are cheap, okay? I can say, you know what? I'd be willing to give my life for you, Alvy. If you needed it, I'd be willing to die for you to save your life. Okay? And I hope that kind of trust and love would be amongst us, that we'd be willing to do that. But friends, words are cheap. What actually proves that I'd be willing to do that? If I'm willing to sacrifice something for Alvy, or maybe actually literally give my life for Alvy, that would prove to his family that I meant what I said. But our good shepherd meant what he said. He's given his life for you and for me so that we can have life and we can have it to the fullest. And I'm thankful for that. And I have more verses here in John 10, but we need to move on for time's sake. Let's flip back to the shepherd psalm, Psalm 23. Look at that a little bit. Psalm chapter 23. Let's read it. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Living Bible reads like this, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes my list of wants gets pretty big. Anybody else relate with me? Sometimes my list of wants seems to get pretty big. And I realize, okay, we can't be so spiritual-minded. I mean, hear me out. We need a place to live. We need food to eat. I get that, okay? But David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I really don't need anything else in life. That's the one and most important thing in my life, is that God is my shepherd and that he is leading me through life. And he's my sustainer. He's my provider. He's the one I run to when I'm in trouble. He's the one I confide in when times are hard. And he's the one that I do life with when things are good. And since the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything else. That was David's testimony. I got room to grow, friends. I got room to grow. Sometimes I want other things. What's the answer? Draw nearer to the shepherd and you'll want less. Draw nearer to the shepherd and you'll want less. David says that there's nothing more that he wants than the Lord to be his shepherd. You know, when Jesus takes us out of that sheepfold in verse 2, it says he leads us to green pastures and beside the still waters. You know, from my understanding of sheep, if you have a large pasture, and maybe Noah would testify different than this, I had a friend who was a shepherd out in Illinois, and his testimony was that his sheep would continue to go back to the same place in the pasture. And they would eat that pasture dead till there was nothing left there, no nourishment. And if I understood him right, they probably would have almost starved themselves to death with green pasture all around them because they were creatures of habit and they went back to the same place. That was his testimony. I don't know. Maybe different sheep are different. I don't know. But he would have to almost make different paddocks in the pasture and lead them to different areas to feed. And friends, that's what our shepherd does for us. He takes us out to those green pastures. And he leads us out there and says, eat, my friend, eat. Take time to feed yourself on my word. Take time to read. Take time to draw near to me and be filled. The still waters. From my understanding of sheep will not drink from a rushing stream. If the water is rushing through, the sheep will most likely not drink. They will actually possibly even die with plenty of water around them because the water is rushing and they are scared to get near rushing water. They're scared to get their wool wet and maybe it'll drown them because of the weight. And so what did the shepherd have to do? The shepherd had to take maybe stones or boards or something and either create a dam to slow the water down or maybe detour the water a little bit into a pool so that the sheep could drink. You ever find yourself so busy in life that you don't even have time to stop and drink from the living water of Jesus Christ? I find myself there sometimes. And our shepherd is over there and he's creating a quiet pool for us. And he says, Joash, just slow down and drink of the water that I want to give you. Slow down. Be refreshed. Be nourished. Eat some grass, figuratively. Drink some living water. And be refreshed. But we live in such a busy, hurry-up world. We got to get things done. We got places to go. We got money to make. We got souls to save. We want to sound like a Christian, too, you know? And we're so busy that we're not even feeding ourselves. How can we feed others when we're not feeding ourselves? The shepherd is asking us to stop and take a drink. Take a drink and be refreshed. I have written here, Lord, help me to know when to say no to things so I can hear from you better. I'm not against being busy, okay? I love living a busy life. Sometimes I try to make my life too busy, though. And Christ just wants us to stop and drink. Verse 3 talks about restoration. He restores our soul. You know, how many of you guys like to be fix-it guys? I like to be fix-it, the fix-it man, okay? I like to fix something once and for all and be done, okay? Sadly, in this life, there's not a lot of once and done things. But we've been remodeling our house, and I try to use materials that are kind of once and done, okay? Nothing is for sure that way, but try to use materials that will last a while so I don't have to do this again for a long time. Because we like to be fix-it men, okay? I live in a very old house. Some of you guys can relate to this, okay? I think our house was built in the 1870s. Had somebody not, year by year, day by day, month by month, year by year, done a little bit of restoration to that place, would it still be standing today? Just think of it, these mighty winds that are blowing through right now, okay? Let's just imagine that maybe 4 or 5 shingles blow off the roof, okay? And there's just a small hole in the shingles, okay? And it seems like nothing. Like, what's the big deal? There's still tar paper there. There's still wood. Then there's insulation, drywall. It's going to take a long time till the water ever reaches me. You know, why fix it up today? It'll be okay. How long with that attitude would a house stand? Not real long. It just wouldn't take too long till you started seeing yellow spots on your drywall from the water leaking in. Pretty soon, the drywall would be falling in. Pretty soon, the whole roof line would be falling in from something rotting And they would say, what a fool. For 10 bucks of shingles, Joash could have saved his whole house. And he sat there and watched it deteriorate. Just a little restoration would have done wonders. Friends, what about your soul? What about your soul when God speaks to you and says, Matt, I want you to change this. Lucas, I want you to do this. Mark, I want this. Joash, I want this or that. Do we allow him to restore our soul day by day? Are we quick to run to the shepherd and say, restore my soul. Lead me to those fountains of living water. Give me that nourishment that I can eat and be filled with you. We need the restoration of Christ daily. Sometimes when Christ leads us out of the fold, verse 4 talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes he leads us through scary and alarming places in life. You ever find yourself in some circumstances that feel rather uncomfortable, feel rather alarming, unnerving, frightening? I think we can all relate to that. We probably should all have our hands up. That sometimes in life we feel those feelings. And I guess, according to my understanding, there was a road that went from Jerusalem to Jericho. I've never been there. And I think its nickname was the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It had some huge cliffs and deep ravines along there. And it was a very, very good place for robbers to hide. And it was a narrow path, so you kind of had to, you know, it wasn't hard for the robber to get you. And David is saying, even if I'd be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear, because my great shepherd, Jesus Christ, is walking with me. Even if I know there could be 10 robbers lurking here to try to take my life, I don't need to fear, because I know who my shepherd is. My shepherd will take care of me. My shepherd will sustain me. I was thinking of some things in life that maybe we face. Maybe it's depression or mental illness. And we think, God, where are you in this? And God's just saying, I'll be your shepherd. Walk with me. Or maybe we're grieving over the loss of a loved one. Maybe you've lost a family member who was close to you. Maybe you've lost your husband or your wife or your child. Or maybe your parents. And what's Christ asking us? He says, just walk with me. I want to lead you through this time of your life. Maybe we have difficulty in our finances. And sometimes that can feel unnerving when we don't have the money to pay the bills. And Christ is just saying, let me be your shepherd. Let me be your sustainer. Or maybe we're facing death itself. And we feel nervous and scared. And Christ wants to be our shepherd. He wants to lead us through and take us home. Another great blessing we have in our shepherd is the rod and the staff at the end of verse 4. What was a rod used for? According to my understanding, a rod was used, it was basically a club. It was used to ward off intruders, other animals, wolves, different kinds of predators that would come to try to get the sheep, and the shepherd would smack them away. It was also used for correction, you know, for a straying sheep, to get them back on the proper path. Discipline doesn't feel good, but it's a blessing. It's a blessing that our shepherd disciplines us. The staff, what was a staff used for? Maybe a sheep that had fallen into a ravine, and they could take that staff and help that sheep back out. Or maybe it was just gentle guidance. You know, hey, this way a little bit, sheep, this way. And it was just gentle guidance. The rod and the staff were used for protection. So what comes to your heart and what comes to your mind when you hear the voice of the shepherd in your mind? Friends, if you don't know Jesus, it's probably that rod and staff looks scary. That voice of the shepherd coming and calling may look scary. It doesn't have to be that way. The voice of the shepherd can be peace, comfort, safety, protection. It's your choice where you're dwelling. It's your choice. Time is moving here. We need to keep going. Turn with me to... Actually, we're not going to turn there. We're just going to talk about the story. It's in 1 Samuel 30, if anybody wants to read it for yourself. But David was dwelling with the Philistines. Okay, Saul was pursuing after David. Saul was chasing David like an animal. And David sought refuge with the Philistines. And he was dwelling at a little town called Ziklag. Okay? And I think we all know the story. The Philistines had gone to make war with the nation of Israel, and David and his men had went with them. Okay? The Philistines got scared. They said, "What are we going to do? What if David would be in the midst of the battle with us and would turn on us?" Yeah, it was kind of a smart idea they had. Like, this could be rather risky, having David amongst us. He could all of a sudden start fighting for the Israelites. So the Philistines sent David home. They said, "Go home." And it says it was a three-day journey to get back to Ziklag, okay? I imagine him and his men were very tired because I imagine they had just walked 3 days to get there, and then they got sent home 3 days back, okay? That's quite a journey. I imagine they were very tired. You ever have times in life you're very tired? I'm talking physically, maybe spiritually. We're very tired sometimes, and you just can't wait to get home, okay? For those of us who have young children, sometimes you just can't wait to get home and go to bed. And you get home, and guess who's wide awake? The baby, okay? And it's like, oh, man, I want to go to sleep so bad. Okay, maybe that's a little bit how David was feeling right now. He gets back to Ziklag. What does he find? He finds that the whole city is burnt to the ground. And everybody, him and all of his men, their wives, their children, their stuff is gone. There's not a thing there for them. What a disappointment, okay? What a disappointment in life. This is the same man who wrote Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It says that him and his men sat down and wept until they had no power to weep anymore. Ever just feel like sitting down and crying? I've been there before in life. Just want to sit down and cry. Maybe it helps, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But verse 6, the end of verse 6 says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him." His own men, not only was his wife and children gone, his own men were very angry at him. And they wanted to stone him, to kill him. It says, "David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." David knew where to turn in hard circumstances. David knew who his shepherd was. "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, you have given, Lord, you have taken away." That's what Job said, and we could turn there, but we don't have time. It says that Job worshiped the Lord when all of his stuff was taken away. As we read about David there, he says that he inquired of the priest, "Should I go pursue after these people?" He was seeking God. "God, what do you have me to do in this hard circumstance? God, what do you want from me?" And he said, "Yes, pursue." And we read that David got all their families back and all their stuff back. They didn't lose a thing. But that's not the story tonight. The story is that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David knew where his help came from. David knew how to follow the shepherd. David knew the shepherd's voice. And that's what I want for my life. We're out of time, but I want to read two verses to you here in closing. And I'll read them in the King James Version, and then I'll read them in another version. It's Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. And then I'll take my seat. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." And the Living Bible reads this way: "We live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who is above all gods. This I declare, that He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I'm trusting in him.